You're listening to Castles and Cryptids, where the castles are haunted and the cryptids are cryptic as fuck. And the hosts are supposed to be Canadian as fuck, but sometimes sound a little Southern.
Yeah. I just thought, as you were doing the intro, what if one time you said the castles are cryptic and the cryptids are haunted AF? I was like, that would be funny.
I know, because sometimes
see if anybody notices.
Yeah, and I just panic. I go, why can't I start this? I don't know if it would be better or worse if it was like...
Gordo!
Cat shenanigans. This is going great. what's he doing?
He's trying to jump at like all the stuff I have hanging up around.
Oh.
So he's like jumping and he's trying to like pull it down. Oh, you were just in your little box. Like, just go in your box and sleep.
He's the most disruptive. It's like right when we start, he's just like tries to get all your attention. He gets so jealous.
She's doing something. I'm making direct contact with you.
Reminds me of my dog who likes to come up and paw me or try and get in between us if me and Pat are like trying to hug or kiss or anything. He's like, what are they doing?
Is there room for one more? Just wiggle in here. Oh yeah,
such a dick. I know Gordo's not settled down yet, so
no,
just didn't start talking again about what I was trying to say.
Gosh.
Oh, I was only joking that it was, I don't know if it'd be better or worse if, like, the Wine and Crime gals, Amanda always mouths the intro when Kenyon does it. And they're on the Zoom, so, well, whatever, the video, so you can see it. If you're watching them, it's like, oh, God.
But, I don't think I would ever do that to you, no.
But can you imagine when they do like the live shows and then like there's like 100 people yelling it back with you? That's fun. that would be a dream come true. Anyway, I'm Alana. Sometimes they forget to say their names too.
Did we get to that? I can't remember. Gordo interrupted me. He was being so distracting.
No, I made a joke about sounding not Canadian.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say my name.
Well, if you're Alana, then that must mean I'm Kelsey.
Do you ever just feel awkward saying your own name anyway? I do sometimes.
Introducing yourself every week people that aren't here until they listen. And you're just like, so I'm just on a video call being like, hi, Alana, I'm Kelsey. We've known each other for probably like 7 or 8 years.
I think so. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's one of those things. Oh, I have two. What I have the two. Ashley is essentially as my supervisors now. So they did. We did the thing now where some of us we just start calling them by their last names. It's like. Pepin. Over here.
Aww. Yeah, we have a couple Stephanies, a couple Jessicas. Oh. We used to have a couple Matthews.
So they're in their 30s because like those or something, because whatever, those are like 80s popular names. Ashley. No, you said Jessica, but like they
Jessica,
all are.
Jessica, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. It's just funny because you're like, oh, and your names are like the same spelling even, and I'm like looking at the schedule and I was like, I don't know which Stephanie is gonna walk through the door right now because I can't remember either of your last names ever.
Oh no, can't one of them be Steph? Like, come on.
I've tried it, but then I forget who's Steph. And I'm like, god damn it, which one of you did I say was Steph?
It's like
at least to me.
Because I'm the Parks and Rec, the Gary Jerry situation.
It's yes.
Like the whole time his name was actually Gary or something, but they call him Jerry.
Yeah. <I forget. laughs> It's funny because I think I was so sure the other day that the other one was Steph, like I was calling Steph, and then the one I was normally so good about calling Stephanie, and then today I reversed it and I was calling the other one Stephanie, and then I started calling the other girl Steph, and I was like, god damn it, I'm just confusing everything because now I've Now I flipped who, which one of you is Steph.
Like, right. What is your preference?
Yeah. And there's also
pronouns. How do I say your name?
Or yeah. What do I call you? There's also two Annas. So.
Mm. There's an Anna. Anna and Alana. You know, they sound very alike when you hear them. We had a Shabana also, who's sent since back moved to travel, but.
Gerda's been evicted!
Gosh. Oh, Gordo, you're a hot mess. You're all over the place. He's an attention whore. He wants his 15 minutes of fame every time.
Yeah, his thing, I think he just wants a nice spot to lay down, but for him to get comfortable and just involves a lot, and then his tail or his butthole is always rubbing up against the mic. Or he's hitting stuff on my touchscreen laptop and closing and opening tabs and minimizing stuff. I'm like, don't exit out of the recording. I don't know what would happen.
I left the dog and my laptop on the bed earlier today, but he was out cold. Mm. He wasn't moving anywhere. So and not for very long because I was like, I don't trust you.
Yes, I sometimes if my laptop's open and they have anything important, sometimes I'll minimize it and just leave it on the home screen, so I'm like, at least if he touches something, there's nothing here he can mess up too badly. He's not gonna delete my notes or something.
He posts an episode, yeah.
Writes a whole episode description. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. Cat GPT. Oh my god. Okay, well, here's a fun fact for us for today.
Yeah.
Blood donors in Sweden receive a text when their blood is used.
Ooh, I've heard that before.
I was like, wait, I don't think I said this one. I don't have it crossed out or anything.
No, but that's like really cool.
Yeah, I think it sounds cool. I guess it's to, quote, to encourage more young people to donate blood. Sahlgrenska University Hospital in Gothenburg, Sweden. Sorry, that was hard to get.
Gothenburg? What are we, Gotham?
Oh, I love the Swedish place names.
So it's cool. So, like, emo.
Gothenburg. Right. That does it. Oh, reminds me of Reading Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. In Gothenburg, Sweden sends a text to donors when their blood has been dispensed to someone in need. A common issue with blood donation, along with other types of charitable donations, is that if a donor doesn't know the recipient, it's harder to convince them that donating is worth it. I guess that's fair.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, good people go out of their way to donate and stuff, because you don't get paid for, like, blood donations and stuff like that. But with this system, which started in 2012, potential donors in Sweden have proof that their contribution is going to good use. Yeah, I think that's really neat.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too. And I know you get paid for some... Oh, I heard a podcaster and they were donating something like plasma or something. And I was like, what? And it's one of those ones where you donate and then you get like paid. You get your little kickback for it or whatever.
Yeah, there's a few things you can donate that you're supposed to get paid for. I've never done any of them because, like, with the medication and everything and my illnesses, like, I'm not allowed to even donate blood. So
I've never really looked into it. Okay, which I've donated blood, I think, but nothing fancy or exciting or...
Yeah.
Semen or eggs or... No.
Plasma. You could donate semen.
I'll just take some of that. I got lots of eggs left, I'm sure. How does that work?
I don't know, actually. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry. That went weird. Off the rails. People are like, whoa, turning this off. This is the first time they listened. They're like, what is this about? These girls just talk about whatever comes into their minds. Okay, only for the first like 15 to 20 minutes, and then we get down to the
yeah
nitty gritty. Yeah, we've actually got some fun stuff today. Well, fun and creepy, and most of mine are like.
I only have a couple, but yeah. Mine were fun and a little creepy. I think a lot of urban legends are a little creepy and.
Well, yeah, like the North American ones tend to be like guy with a hook for a hand coming to serial kill you.
Yeah.
Creepy person laying under your bed licking your hand for some reason. Just like they're so random. Yeah. I like to hear the ones from around the world, which is what we're focusing on today. So that's going to be fun.
After you did so many of them, there were like in Asia.
I literally thought about my Japan episode and was like, I know there was stuff I didn't even get to cover from there. So it's cool to look up specifically by a country. Sometimes you'll get a little bit more different ones than if you just go like from around the world or whatever. Yeah.
I think I ended up on a website. What was this? It was actually what I mostly read was from listverse.com. I think we might have used them before, but their little URL was 8 eerie urban legends you've probably never heard of. And
so try me.
I got both of mine actually from the list. They were kind of cool.
Had you heard of any of the other ones on the list? I bet you'd heard of some.
I think maybe one out of the 8 I had. Oh. The rest I hadn't. Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Ratio. It's usually like Bigfoot or like. Flatwoods Monster. Yeah. Nessie.
Yeah. Okay. That came up a lot. Area 51 came up a lot.
I did see that too. That's like, okay. Yeah. We have better than that. Come on. Because like sometimes it's. You gurgle. you Google urban legends and you get like folklore and like cryptids and stuff, and they just they come up under freaking urban legends. I'm like, what are these? Everyone's just puts everything from all the different categories almost sometimes, it feels like.
Mine are kind of, I guess you could call it sort of cryptid-y, but they are more of like kind of a beware kind of urban legend warning type thing.
Yeah. To scare kids. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's that's nice and urban legend-y. I like it.
My first one, they just had on the list, they entitled it Beware of Long Ear. Which I was like, long ear. Yeah.
Sounds off-putting already.
Right? So this is an urban legend that's common in Somalia.
Oh, and cool.
Yeah. The legend
of long ear. Don't give too much out of there. Like.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The legend of long ear is told to warn children and teens about the dangers of going into the forests or just wandering too far from home, especially after dark.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's good.
Bit of a cautionary tale maybe as well.
We had that in our first trailer. We talked about cautionary tales.
I vaguely remember that. Long time ago.
It's probably still our trailer on Spotify. I don't know if you can update that.
There's probably some way. Maybe we're too lazy to figure it out.
That's one probably day. It.
Yeah, one day. So, long ear, or I think it, what is it? One of the things said dag dare is what they pronounce it, but it's spelled D-H-E-G-D-H-E-E-R.
Oh boy.
But it seemed like it was dag dare. Nice. Or long ears kind of translated. It translates
dag dare. Dag
dare. Dag dare. No. It translates to one with long ears.
Okay. On the nose.
Yeah. I'd say. And it's a cannibalistic demon woman who is said to like to eat lost children. So that's why you shouldn't wander in the forest, I guess. Excuse you, Gordo.
His like fat ass so leaping loud. Up on his tower.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why it says one with long ears is what it translates to, because apparently she only has one long ear.
So and one regular ears. Ear?
I guess so. That's what it seemed like. It said she keeps her one long ear on the ground and is able to hear the sound of children who are lost in the forest, and that her long ear folds down when she's sleeping. Like, I picture a little puppy ear flap just boop, going over.
Do your ears hang low? Do they waddle to and fro? Can you dive in and out? She just throws it over one side of her head.
Like, yeah.
Like a little earmuff, yeah. Weird.
Yeah, so that was a little confusing to me, because it seems like at first I thought it was both ears, but most of the stuff just said it like singular. Her one ear is long.
She just used to wear one really heavy earring, and so then that one lobe is just like that super stretch.
No, like how it's like all... all the pictures that people have done in this fairy tale pictures or whatever, it kind of looks like an elf ear, like it's going up and it's pointy, like a bat, like it was very bat like.
So it's the top of the ear that's folding down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very bat-like, pointy. Not a droopy ear. Sorry, that might have been a little confusing.
I have a hard time visualizing things in general. Where I'm like, what does it look like? Give me a
this is a very bat-like ear. So it folds over when she's sleeping, I guess. And if she finds a child, it says that she'll eat them alive in just a few minutes. That's creepy. Oh. And it's
there's
also
all the better to hear you with than eat you with, my dear.
That's what I thought when I read that the first time. I was like, better to eat you with.
Oh.
Better to hear you with. What is this, Little Red Riding Hood? It also said that Long Ear has a special taste for eating children who have no manners and who don't listen to their parents. So some other cautionary warnings.
Of course.
Don't just wander away from home, but have good manners and listen to your parents.
They never eat the good children, do they?
No. You get good grades. And Dag Dare wants nothing to do with you. Long Ear is widely known in Somalia folklore, and there's a bunch of different versions, it seems, of tales that can be found throughout different regions of Somalia. So...
Oh.
Yeah, I did find one of the stories, which was kind of cool.
Did you put any pictures up? Sorry.
No, ended up forgetting to save them, but I didn't have any pictures for the other story, so.
No, yeah, I did shorter ones that didn't have pictures.
Yeah.
Which, we didn't even tell each other what we were doing this time.
No, I was hoping we didn't pick the same ones. So I was like, it seems unlikely, because unless you stumble on this specific list, I didn't see these two listed on anything else, so.
Exactly, yeah. I was hoping for the best also.
And when I tried to Google more information, all I could find was, I found one Wikipedia thing about, or no, I couldn't even find either thing on Wikipedia.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, they don't even have Wikipedia pages. Yeah, I'm like, I doubt Alana will get, like, the same story.
Yeah. Nope, never even heard of it.
Yeah. So I found the Dag Dare story on a scary Somalia folk tale. It's kind of what it was titled. And it was on...
He's tired.
It was on Somalia Sample at weebly.com, and they had this little story I thought was kind of cool, and then they had a little, like, breakdown and, like, analysis, I guess you'd call it, of, like, the themes of it, which I thought was kind of cool. So the story goes like this. It's a little confusing to me. We'll see how this goes. I think some of it's kind of maybe lost in translation a little bit.
Okay. I mean, folklore stories can be wild.
Yeah. So once upon a time, a man married a beautiful woman. They had a son together. After a while, the husband married another woman. And he divided his animals into two different parts for each of his wives. So, like, split them up. He built a big house for his new wife. And the house was next to the house of his first wife. So they're neighbors, I guess. Like, great.
Very sister wives or something. Like, what is happening here?
When the first wife saw the beautiful young wife and the new house, got jealous.
Of course it's the beautiful young wife.
Yeah. Half her age.
I don't have to worry about that with Pat. I'm already younger. Nope.
She got so jealous that she was almost crazy. Jealousy took over her. The next night, she left the house with her baby. Her husband was with...
Wore red shoes. No, sorry. Right? And then Karen.
Her ankles danced the night away. God. It still haunts me.
Dramatic.
Her husband was with the new wife, so he didn't know that the first wife had left with their child.
Okay, the first wife was like, fuck this shit, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you. Okay. Fair.
In the morning, everyone found out that she had gone. They went to find her, but they couldn't. She tried to find where her family lived, but she got lost. She traveled many days and nights. She finally got to the Nagal Valley. The Nagal Valley was known as a place where a woman named Dagdare hunts for people. While the first wife was walking, she sensed that someone was running after her.
Oh no. And she's still with her son?
Yeah. But the running she heard was different than the running she knew. I think, like, she had heard before? I don't know. The running created all kinds of dust and wind. She knew that the person running after her was Dagdare. She kept running faster and faster, and Dagdare kept running after her, too.
Maybe it sounds like a giant coming after you.
Yeah. This is where it gets weirder and harder to follow. The mother and her son were both fat. Dagdare loved fat people. She was very hungry for them. I'm sorry, I did not write this.
Okay. I'm just processing, like, they have a fat fetish. Oh, no. They hungry.
Yeah, she's a cannibal. She loves fat people.
Oh, God. Okay, this has gone Green Inferno. No, we were just watching Eli Roth's History of Horror or whatever.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
It just, you know, they talk about the different horror movies.
Yeah.
And genres and stuff. It's good. I like it.
So the rest is Dagdare was used to running fast, and no one she chased ever got away from her. Dagdare was running faster and faster, but the mother was running too. While they were running, they came to Hargeiga holes. These are deep holes, it said, in the ground.
Hella big holes, okay.
Yeah. When the mother saw these deep holes that she couldn't cross, she said, Allah, save me. Like the god Allah. Okay. So she's like praying to him. And then she jumped across safely with her son. Dagdare stopped and didn't want to take the risk of jumping over the holes. When she couldn't jump, she said, oh, Hargeiga holes. They can stop a man running at full speed. They can stop a man that is flying. oh, look at the woman's body. Oh, look at the deliciousness of her skin.
Oh, gross.
Oh, look at her body shake. Look at her cute baby. Oh, heart giga holes. Oh, they can stop a flying man. She apparently wailed this and screamed and sounded like the winds of the night. And that's how the story ends. So,
this is like a canyon situation. Like, these are huge holes that you can't
cross,
even if you're flying.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. So, like, the analysis it had after that story was kind of makes it make a little more sense. It said the power of prayer and belief in Allah is taken for granted in this tale. This demonstrates their influence of Islam in Somali life. And as the woman runs from Dare, she knows she cannot get far before it will catch up to her and her child, but she keeps praying, and as a result, her prayers are answered. So, like, the holes appear, or she comes across them and knows that she can get across if she prays, but the demon won't be able to. This retelling of Dare includes a lesser-known ending. In most oral versions of this tale, this part really confused me. It says Dagdare's daughter, assisted by other girls, kills her mother by pouring hot water into Dagdare's long ear as she sleeps.
Oh.
But it doesn't say, like, the woman that's running away's daughter. It says Dagdare's daughter kills Dagdare by pouring hot water in her ear. And I was like, why would the demon's daughter kill her? Why wouldn't she kill?
She feels empathy for the victims.
The prey. I don't know. Yeah, that's a little weird to me. Again, I think it might be like a translation issue. But I guess that's most of the versions. But I couldn't find one of those even when I tried Googling them. It said that, like, this version, however, that I read to you, incorporates an adaptation of a lesser-known ending that allows greater forces to end Dagdare's life. Through, like, prayer and stuff.
Right. It's kind of like, keep the faith and you'll be rewarded.
Yeah. Yeah, because she just keeps running and everything. Where in the other ones, I guess it's more of a, they kind of take action to fight back, I guess. More so than, like, to keep fleeing.
That's the Old Testament style.
Yeah.
Eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This one I also couldn't find much on other than the actual story that was from that Listverse website, but I thought it was kind of a interesting story after I read it. I was like, and I tried looking it up and I could not find it. It's called The Price is Three Sacks. Like sacks of gold or whatever, but
the price is right.
Yeah,
I guess three sacks, Bob.
You went over by one sack.
Did you know that Pam from The Office was on The Price is Right before she was all famous?
Really? Her too? Yeah. I know Aaron Paul was.
Okay.
Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad, and if you ever thought you wanted to know what he would look like, he's so crazy, just full of energy. If you think he's acting like he's on drugs in Breaking Bad, I don't know, because I could say is I hope he's acting when he's on Price is Right, because he looks insane. It's on YouTube. I've watched it many times.
What the fuck is his name? Jesus.
Tom Christ. Cruise? Oh, Tom Cruise, it's way worse energy than Tom Cruise. He's like losing his shit on The prices, right?
Interesting.
Like, oh my god. Yeah, well, and you're like, oh, was this his audition tape to being a drug addict on Breaking Bad? Like, oh my god, he looks crazy. Yeah.
When Jenna Fisher was on, her name tag said her real name, which is Regina.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cute.
And also Chris Jericho, who I talked about last episode, Bob Barker was like a guest host on WWE's like Raw, Monday Night Raw.
Yes, I've seen that. Chris was
just wearing the sticker on his chest. He talks about it in his book, and it makes me laugh because, it made Chris break. Bob made him break character because he was so condescending to him.
Ooh, yeah, Bob Barker could be really fucking sassy.
Yeah, he was like savage.
Yeah, I remember watching it, and they're like doing something, and Bob Barker comes out, and doesn't he like fight somebody or hit somebody with a chair?
Oh, probably. It's like, and then he has his tiny little microphone. He probably has a signature tiny one. I don't know. And also, I just watched a YouTube video that I had queued up from watching stuff in preparation for last week's, like watching a match with Chris. And then it was like, do you want to watch a 25 minute video of wrestlers breaking character? Like, I'm like, yes, I love outtakes. Of course I want to see them all laughing. Like The Rock and people making him like,
smile. I love that.
Yeah, like give him his lines back to him and stuff. Like, it doesn't matter what you're saying to me. And then him just being like smiling.
Nice. I like that. That's funny. I like that kind of stuff on certain TV shows, but SNL, I like watching the people crack up.
Oh, God,
when you see people in the background and they start laughing or they have to, like, hide their face, you're like, yeah, we got them.
That is good, yeah. It's always good when just a little bit of fourth wall breaking. That's why I like when Mr. Ballin can't get through saying, old seagull lung! Does the stupid ads because he always makes himself laugh. Anyway, it's okay. We had a short, I think it's a short episode. I can tangent a little, but I'll let you get back now.
Yeah, I don't have much left. This one's pretty short. It's basically just the story. Because I wasn't able to figure out what the actual urban legend or anything is called, but.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like
a little blurb.
An urban legend, I guess, that this happened at like this mill. It says, according to legend, a long time ago in an unnamed village in Scotland, a witch appeared from the surrounding forest to warn the villagers to stop cutting down the trees to make way for more farmland.
She was the Lorax.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm the Lorax. I speak for the trees. That's my favorite Dr. Seuss book.
I love it. It's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah. She threatened to make all of their land, as well as all the women in the village, infertile if they ignored her warning.
Yeah, damn. That's a
gonna strike everything down.
Are they cutting down all the trees? Like, what is happening? So
weird.
Yeah. Like, clear cutting it. It's Fern Gully. Maybe.
A deal was struck between the villagers and the witch that only a small part of the forest could be cleared, and in return, the villagers had to leave one sack of produce at the edge of the forest after each harvest. So just one sack. Things remained peaceful for centuries. Then, one day, a new generation of villagers tore down almost the entire forest to build a mill.
But their arrangement was working so well.
Yeah.
There was one sack exchanged. People seemed happy.
Yeah, so the witch returned to promise suffering because of the broken treaty. And the villagers grabbed the witch and hanged her. With her last breath, she exclaimed that the price was now 3 sacks of produce.
Okay. That's way less crazy than her last threat of a curse.
Right? Yeah, she didn't even threat them. Now she's just like, it's tripled.
She's not gonna like go through on her making everything barren and infertile.
Damn it. The owner of the mill was terrified of the witch even after her death and dutifully placed 3 sacks of produce at the edge of the forest after each harvest. His crops grew. But you already
killed her. Okay.
It works. I mean, his crops grew abundantly, and in time, he became a father to 3 beautiful daughters. Eventually, however, the mill owner grew complacent and greedy. He stopped paying his due. The very next morning, he failed to pay the 3 sacks of produce for his harvest, and his youngest daughter went missing.
You're gonna pay. You're gonna pay with their lives.
While the village rallied to look for the girl, the mill started running. Suddenly the workers cried out in alarm. Between the millstones ran rivulets of blood. The mill owner's daughter was discovered caught and crushed between them.
But in the mill part of the workings of the mill.
Yeah.
Like,
in the cogs. By the 19th...
Maybe it has a water wheel that...
I don't really know. Like, at first, like, it's gotta be, like, a lumber mill or, like, flour mill or something that they use, right?
I should know some. I know a little bit about mills. They had the 2 different mills at King's Landing. One was a sawmill and one was more what? Like a grist mill, like for like, yeah, flour and like,
yeah,
different stuff like that.
I think this has got to be flour because it talks about like the stones and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's grinding down some sort of grain.
Yeah, so I think she got squished and like pushed between the stones. Whee! Yeah. So by the 1960s, an old crumbling silo stood in place of the mill. A young boy was dared to stay in the silo overnight to determine if it was haunted by the witch or the young girl who had died in the mill. When his friends found him the next morning, they were shocked to see that the boy had broken both his ankles when he jumped from the silo loft. When he was asked why he had done that, he said that several empty grain bags inside the mill had come to life and were dragging themselves towards him to overpower him.
Whoa.
Which is creepy.
And they pushed him? Like, that'd be heavy.
I think they were just coming towards him and he must have, like, jumped or fallen off the loft. And
he just, like, managed to back up and then, yeah, like,
I think so.
Trips over the edge or something.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I tried to, like, when I was looking it up, I was trying to find, like, maybe another version of the story or more details or anything, but I couldn't find it. And then, obviously, because it's an unnamed village in Scotland, it's hard to look up.
It was, yeah, there was one source I was using that was, yeah, little posts by individual users, so sometimes it didn't really have where the area was, and I was like,
I don't
know if I want to use all of these ones because it's just kind of, you know, people. We in my town, we were told that, you know, black vans would come around and kidnap the kids and stuff.
Yes, I ran across that one too.
Oh, okay,
I had one of them. I wanted to try looking up, and that was this cabin, I guess, that there's a whole urban legend around. I tried looking up the cabin. I could not figure out where it is.
Did it say it was in like a state, like in the United States or something like that? Or
yeah, I think it was not like really. Idaho or something. But
okay, I may have also we did one of the same sources.
Yeah, it said like people died in it in the 1800s, this hunting party, and it was like locked from the inside, all the windows and doors, all of the men inside had been crushed, and then like 60 years later or something, the same, like a whole bunch of people died inside of it again, and it was also unsolved, and they never figured it out, And I was trying to figure out what cabin it was. I was like, that sounds interesting.
That sounds like a whole case. Yes, I did come across that and was like, oh my God, that sounds like a rabbit hole.
It was like murder cabins, Idaho, haunted cabins, Idaho. I kept getting rental listings. And then it was like urban legends, haunted cabins, Idaho.
Very like Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah, I was trying to, I could not figure out the Google algorithm that was going to get me the results I was wanting to find.
That's what's annoying about those vague ones. You're like, what is this from? Reddit? Like, just says, in my hometown, blah, 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 blah. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I like stories like that. It's just not exactly the vibe we're usually going for. We're usually a little bit more like, well, this one's from this place. It's a little bit more like, we're edutainment.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Now my other thing is like, please charge me. But the other one's charging. Cut to commercial break.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Shit. All right, all right, all right. We are back and more cryptic than ever. What does that mean? See?
Cryptic. Nobody knows, and we will not explain.
Oh, by the way, did we talk about, is this the one that comes out before, like, this is our holiday episode other than our Patreon? It's gonna
this is our last episode of 2023. Yay,
baby.
We hope you all have applause.
A good end of your year and whatever the heck holiday you celebrate.
Happy holidays.
Merry Yule. Crazy Krampus. Krampusnacht. I think we already passed that. We might be into the territory of where those guys come out, the Yule lads. The sausage sniffer and
the door liquor and the spoon liquor.
There's a lot of liquors. Maybe that's who was under the bed in that first urban legend.
Oh. Finger liquor.
I love that story. Go listen to our Patreon from, what, last year?
Yeah.
Where I covered the Yule lads and Grilla, who's like their witch mother, and they're like trolls. There's a giant cat. It's really cool. I like that story.
I can't believe it's been a whole year since I did Krampus.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. It does not feel like it was that long ago. But
I miss the old Krampus.
Time just flies.
I know. Yeah, that's crazy, you guys. What, even last year we wouldn't have been part of a network.
It's no.
Been a cool year.
Lots of changes.
Yeah.
Now we have a sponsor. We have a network. We've done group episodes with them. And
And we might be doing some guest spots and crossovers. I know I say there's stuff in the works, but like there is, so just be patient.
Yes. It takes a lot of organizing and back strategizing to figure out.
Everyone has lives, and then they're podcasters too, so it's like,
And then everybody gets sick.
That is true. It's just not usually me. Knock on wood.
Yeah. This puts a whole wrench in all of the plans. Like our November Patreon coming out in the middle of December.
It was a little late. But as I said, we were like, oh yeah, we went so November hard on like our stuff.
We did.
Remember the 5th of November. I was like, but like honestly, how many times I've been listening to a Patreon or something and or an episode and people are like, you're listening to this day. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah, not even close.
Actually, yes. When I was listening to, did I say this last week? Some of Chris Jericho's podcast, some of it for the research and some just because I was like, oh, he has an episode with William Shatner. Okay. And then it's like, that's the thing about podcasts. They're new now and stuff like this, but it's not like a radio show where if you miss it, it's gone. It's like people could be listening to this 10 years from now. I'm like, it's literally like 9 years from the time you guys recorded that.
Oh, so
it
shoot.
Was really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's been podcasting since, yeah, like 2014 or some shit. Like,
wow. Yeah. That is a long time.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it is cool that they stick around there out on the internet. It's
it's like a legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, people can listen to it whenever they want and or re-listen to it. And
your kids, like, I've heard people say, like, my kids can listen to this even after I'm gone. Like,
well, that's depressing.
Well, maybe Rooney will listen to it and be like, Kelsey, are you still doing this podcast you did when you were like 20 something.
Yeah. You really want to think about your daughter listening to you talk about her dad's
sperm. Oh, she's
you really looking forward to that.
She's already at the point where I'm embarrassing to her, and she gets all the dirty jokes now too. So yeah.
Oh yay.
She knows my mind's in the gutter all the time. She just goes, oh, mother. And then you get you're like, oh, I'm the parent who tells the dad jokes or the jokes that make the daughter cringe.
Yeah.
Hey, you. Somebody's got to do it. Pat does it too, but he's a bit more pranky lately, where he'll try to like spook her or something.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, just be a little silly.
Fun.
Yeah, she flinches. She's a flincher.
I do that too. I don't love getting scared or anything like that.
I jumped earlier when the toaster popped because I wasn't like, ready for it. It was very quiet. Oh, too funny. Sorry. Now my cheeks hurt from smiling. Okay. All right, let's go back to Japan for a moment or two.
Okay, take us back.
Take me back. I want to go back. Okay, the first one is one I might have come across when I was doing Japan, when we did our Japanese urban legends, lore legends, or whatever we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I covered them at the time. Just some of them just happen to be in the same lists. But this one, the Japanese name, Kuchisaki Ona, hopefully, or the English version, the slit-mouthed woman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds creepy.
Yeah, sounds gross.
Yeah, makes me think of the, what do they call that?
The Smile movie.
I did end up watching that. It was fairly good.
Yeah, not too bad.
But I think all that the when somebody like does the they get their throat slit basically ear to ear, but they say it's kind of like a smile.
Ooh, there's probably a horrible name for that.
Like cut back. It's something.
Yeah. Like
a something smile.
Right. Like a headbutt can be like a Glasgow kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. She's a vengeful ghost who roams the street at night, is hauntingly beautiful, also mm-hmm. wears a face mask. So okay. Was very compliant during COVID.
Yeah, I was like, what kind of mask?
Well, to cover up her slit face.
Mm-hmm.
She has a permit to carry concealed scissors. And if you meet her, she will ask anyone she meets if she looks beautiful. Like, she'll be like, do you think I look beautiful? And you better pick the right answer, just like if your wife asks if she looks fat in that. No, honey, no, nothing makes you look fat. But yes, she'll ask you if you think she's beautiful. And if you say no, she murders you with her scissors.
Okay.
If you say yes. Yeah, overreaction.
If you say yes, she murders you with her scissors.
I mean, it's not great. She removes her face covering to reveal a gaping mouth that has been slit ear to ear.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. She's the
Joker. I need to look this up. Hold on. I need to look it up.
Yeah, it's whatever happened to the Joker.
Well, yeah, that kind of thing. They have it on Hannibal. I can't remember. Was it like...
And it's not an ear-to-ear grin.
No. Do. Ad called.
It's okay. I'm trying to think now. Did I write down the name of my second one? Because I had it mixed up with Slit Mouthed Woman, who is horrible.
I can't find it.
Really?
Yeah, I keep just coming up with like, problem, like ear canal problems, and then like cases where it happened, but nothing tells me what it's called.
Oh,
but it has a name.
There's gotta be a like a euphemism or a slang term.
Yeah, for some reason I feel like it's called like a Chicago smile or something like that. But I know that's not right. But that's the only one that's popping into my head.
Okay, this is what this one's called. Sorry, you gave me time to just double check the name of this second person who you're going to hate, by the way. Sorry, that was so evil of me. Nothing, hey? Okay.
It's no, I couldn't find
smile.
It.
Smile. I have no idea. What did you Google?
Yeah. What is slit throat from ear to ear called? And it wouldn't come up. It just came up with cases and then stuff about ear canal problems or eustachian tube slit problems.
Oh, slit throat or like cheeks?
Well, there's different ones. Like, I know there's definitely one that it's supposed to be your throat ear to ear. But I think in the show Hannibal, it's like your cheeks to your ears or whatever. That girl that has that facial problem where she can't remember people's faces and then she doesn't think she's a real person.
Glasgow Smile!
Okay.
Why do they both have to do with... Why is Glasgow... Yeah. Glasgow.
What did they ever do to Rob?
Fucking Scots, man. A Glasgow smile is a wound caused by making a cut from the corners of a victim's mouth up to the ears, leaving a scar in the shape of a smile. That's so funny.
I thought there was one that was the throat too, like going up to like your earlobes.
Ew, God.
Like under your chin and your like jaw and everything.
Ew, well some of the Bloody Mary legends is that when she comes in the mirror after you know, we'll say her name or whatever.
Yeah.
That her throat is gone.
Oh yeah, her throat slit. Yeah. I've heard that before, I think.
Yeah. I just heard that. They were talking about Bloody Mary on And That's Why We Drink the other day, because they did a sort of a deep dive into the mirrors. Mirror lore.
Yeah, there's lots of creepy stuff about that.
Right? Yeah. Talk about, bloody urban legends with mirrors, or Candyman came to mind, because that's based off a case where someone... came in through the adjoined mirrors through the bathrooms in the hotel or the apartment building. I think it was a crappy apartment building. Really sad.
Came through
story.
Like the bathroom vanity.
Yeah, because nobody believed the lady because she had like some mental health issues or something. And she's like, I hear people, something like that.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
Very. Okay, speaking of creepy. Literal nightmare fuel for this one.
Oh God! Okay,
reminds me of
myself.
Your recurring nightmare.
Oh shoot! Oh, I think I think I read this one when I was trying to find mine. Yeah.
Also from Japan. And I don't think I covered on the other one because I think I would have remembered this.
No, because I thought about covering this one.
Did you? Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how to say it. It's like teki teki or teke teke.
Yeah.
Looks like it's
something like that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, it's a ghost of a young woman or a girl who fell on the railroad tracks, got stuck and got hit by a train and basically cut in half. Yay! So, of course, she's pissed in the afterlife. That's awful. I don't know why that seems to happen in real life cases sometimes, too. Or maybe it's like people just try and dispose of bodies that way and then they look like they were killed by the train or something.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's like suicides or they do talk about, because people do walk along the tracks sometimes, so I think some people that are like drunk or high that just maybe don't realize the train's coming and they end up getting hit too.
Could be, yeah, and I'm not saying like I've read that it happens a lot or heard about it a lot, but a couple different cases, I don't know, seem to come to mind. But yeah, it could be like smiley face where they're like, is there a connection or is it just people that accidentally get drunk and like drowned and taking a piss or whatever? All right. So yes, rage fuels her after her unfair death. She haunts urban areas, train stations. Makes sense. Dragging herself along as supposedly produces this teki teki noise. And if she catches you, she will cut you in half with a scythe, which must be hard to wield when you're on the ground.
Right? Yeah. I thought about that too. I'm like, that's a pretty badass weapon for a torso with arms to carry.
It's like modified for disabled
people. Yeah, like, does she have a short one? Like, how does that even work?
She cuts your ankles off first.
Oh, shoot.
Because if you take
in front of the church.
Yeah. Oh, there's some, what does Pat always say about when you have to fight someone? Like, doesn't matter how tall they are, if they're on their back or something like that. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess, grossly, she's like a super fast crawling along, apparently could like keep up with a car for a bit.
Oh, gross.
Right?
That's a lot.
And she has a question she likes to ask you too.
Am she asks,
what?
Am I pretty?
Yes, sorry. That's awesome. Do I look fat without my legs? I thought I could shave off a few extra pounds. Oh! she'll ask you where her legs are, and you must reply, Meishin Expressway.
Oh.
Hope I pronounced that right, because it's you only get one shot. Yeah. Or you die. Yeah. Oh, I loved the ones from Japan, and most of the list talked about a couple I'd already talked about, like the one that asked you if you wanted red or blue toilet paper in the bathroom, but I think it killed you either way. Like, it's just not good. There are all these high stakes, like, would you rather questions, and
I remember running across one that was, I thought was sort of like a horror movie I ended up watching. I don't know if it was like Japanese or Korean or what, but it was supposed to do with the urban legend about a certain bridge, and you were supposed to walk across the bridge at night, but walk across backwards. Walking backwards. Yeah, and this like film crew were trying to like film themselves. I can't really remember what ended up happening. I know a bunch of them. There's like four people or something, and a couple of them ended up like dying, and all the stuff was happening. Yeah, like they would kind of just get like almost like hypnotized or like entranced, like partway across. When they were like walking away from a friend, they would just like stop. And then they couldn't get like woken up and stuff, and then they would die. Yeah.
What is up with creepy bridges and like haunted bridges? Or there's one that's called like Crying Baby Bridge, or maybe several that are called that around like the US. Yeah. I mean, I don't love it.
No.
All right, also in Asia, we have the Nal Ba from India, which is a malevolent spirit dressed as a bride.
Ooh.
Literally almost forgot to include that detail. And then I was like, well, that wouldn't be helpful because she will manipulate you to try and gain entry to your house. Kind of like a black-eyed kid, which we've never talked about, but is one that would have to be its own whole segment. It's too much of a, I don't know, internet age urban legend. The black-eyed kids. Sorry. So for this one, the Nal Ba, you don't want to open the door, much as they will try to get in. And oh, I think that was all I had on that one. Some of them were very short.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember if that was the same website we were on, but one of them was just, yeah, like I said, like kind of just like short blurb entries that I was like, is this from Reddit or something?
Yeah, that's why a lot of times I don't like using Reddit. I'm like, there's not enough information here for me to like try and research this further.
And sometimes websites are just like compiled like posts or things. Or things like, and you're like, oh, okay. So instead of don't look up that Blockbuster movie, whatever, this one's called Look Up. And it said, it is a university urban legend here in the Philippines. There was a female college student that went to the female's restroom. In the cubicle, she can hear a female voice. The voice is, maybe that's why I was going to write it in my own words. They said female like 10 million times. English is not my first language. Okay. The voice is saying some Latin. I can't remember the exact words. Obviously, the female student was frightened and hurried to go back to the classroom. She then asked her professor what was the meaning of the word she heard from the restroom. The professor said it means, look up, look up.
That's creepy. In a bathroom?
I don't
look at anybody in a bathroom.
No. There's been like one or two Let's Not Meet stories or something like that I was listening to where somebody was literally hiding, peeping in a bathroom in like a vent or something, like super creepy.
Oh,
yeah, a public washroom.
She's got like full body shivers. I hate
it. Ew, right?
Oh.
Yeah, and that was not a legend. That was like, those are true stories that they people write in with. Yeah.
Gross.
This one was called The Caller. Just another short little one, like most of these are. Where they posted, I'm not sure where it's exactly from, but they said, I'll have to roughly translate it from Arabic, so bear with me. We call it The Caller. It is told that in the middle of the night, it calls your name and forces you to follow its voice until you reach a body of water. It then pulls you under, forcing water into every single hole in your body, no matter how small, and of course then drowning you.
Gross.
Holes! Like that guy in the Dungeons and Dragons movie. Wait, that's what it was, right? Or no, maybe it was Guardians of the Galaxy. Whatever.
I don't remember. It makes me think of Fringe, though, when all the like your eyes and your nose and your ears and everything gets closed over up. Like the skin grows over it.
Gordo, excuse you,
he's playing.
There was a similar affliction in that fairy tale book by Stephen King. Yeah
you mentioned that.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure because that's
creepy.
Sometimes I try not to spoiler too much, but it was like, yeah, this person had like I don't like that when something like X-Files and then like their mouths close up. Like, that's not right.
Yeah, especially
I'm thinking of the pink guy who wanted holes. And I'm like, literally could be on one hand Guardians of the Galaxy, could have been on the other hand Dungeons and Dragons. I can't remember right now. He was just very excited to have holes, even when he got shot. Because he was like, I have holes. Okay. Sorry, what were you saying? Jesus.
Oh, no. I don't remember.
Oh, sorry, I thought I cut you off again. All right, we also have the Night Marchers, and this is from Hawaii. Hawaii. The Huaka'epo, aka the Night Marchers, are the spirits of ancient Hawaiian warriors who have been cursed to march the lands for eternity. The Night Marchers are said to march in a single line. Oh, pardon me. Often carrying torches and weapons while chanting and playing drums. And to protect yourself, you must lie on the ground face down in respect. Or die.
Or die.
You know. That's
or die.
Right? But do you have to do it when you hear them coming or just all the time?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just planking always. Oh. Okay, this one's a little funny. The Slap Ghost. The Slap Ghost. In a village close by, there is a story that in a specific road through the woods, several guys were being slapped when they pass in a bicycle in the it says in the latte 1970s. The late 1970s.
The latte.
Latte. Always at night, one of these guys was my grandfather. He was alone and was slapped and fell off his bicycle. No one was there. Several people came home full of bruises and scratches from the bicycle fall after the slap in the face. I've heard of pinching. This is a new one. Suddenly the slaps stopped for a few years. And in the 80s, the ghost came back. One young guy was slapped in the face in same place. Funny is that the mystery was solved in that day. It was a fucking branch from a tree.
Yeah. I think I ran across that one. I
was it like, might have been the shared source.
Yeah. It's like, that's it pretty funny. Good when I read that.
The old guys from the 70s came home late from the old bar, completely drunk, including my grandfather, and without any source of light, they would get hit by the branch and fall. Then the tree was trimmed and the slap stopped until it grew again and made this 80s guy the next victim. Luckily, he was sober and realized what hit him.
Jesus. I think it's a ghost. Makes me think of...
It almost sounds unreal, yeah.
But yeah, it sounds so weird. I think it was How I Met Your Mother, where Marshall has a bunch of slaps that... I think he has that he's allowed to slap Barney in the face a certain amount of times, and he like waits years in between, and every once in a while he like puts his hand up like he's gonna slap Barney, and then Barney like freaks out and he doesn't slap him.
Okay, are those two just the friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two of the friends. It's so weird. Funny. And then when he does the slaps, he slaps him so hard in the face. Like, it's awful. Yeah.
So he's got like a slap hall pass where he's just allowed.
Basically, I can't remember what the situation was. It was like bets or something like that like the winner would get to slap the other guy a certain amount of times. And he's like, oh, it's not going to happen one after another. Like, I'm going to torment you for like the next 10 years.
Oh, that reminds me of that movie Tag, or they're playing a really long game of tag into their adulthood, and then like at their wedding.
That was
like
a
various situation.
Good movie.
Yeah. Jeremy Renner was in it.
Yes. They got really hardcore about it. I ended up looking up the true story behind it.
It was loosely based, right?
Yeah, the guys involved, they weren't like that hardcore about it, but they did have a number of times where they got their wives to like set up situations where they could like corner people, but they didn't do anything that caused too much like property damage or anything that really
I'm sure they zhuzhed it up for the movie.
Yeah, nothing that would have like lost somebody their job or anything
ruined
like that.
Ruined a
like,
special seems... day, a momentous occasion.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't as crazy as in the movie, but yeah, the movie was great. I liked it.
Okay, yeah, and they showed some of the footage, I think, of the real guys at the end, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I liked that one.
I'm trying to get Rain to watch Arrested Development with me on a rewatch, because I'm like, oh, you like BoJack Horseman. You like Will Arnett. You'll get all this humor now. And then, like, it reminds me of the ones where he gets his, the dad gets his armless friend to help prank teach the kids their lessons.
Oh my god.
You should have left a note when we, like, because when they put the note, like, they needed milk or something, but then he just makes this, like, elaborate, like, you just cut off this guy's arm, and they're all screaming, and he's like, that's why you should have left a note.
Yeah, he feels so crazy in that. That would be horrifying if that actually happened.
I mean, it's a super healthy family, we all know.
Yeah. I always see online the mom and that little meme of her going, good for her.
I'm surprised there's not more, like, gifts and stuff from that show. It's so, so funny.
Yeah, there's a handful of them. But, yeah, there definitely should be more than there actually is.
You know what's surprisingly rewarding? Watching something with Rain and then having her go, oh, that's where that gift came from.
Yes, right?
Sometimes The Simpsons, sometimes Liar Liar. She heard a clip. She was like, oh, I've heard this before.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
quit breaking the law, asshole. Or whatever.
That's the one with Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jim Carrey.
So do I.
I think he's Canadian. So many gems are.
Jim Carrey, Mike Myers.
Yeah. The Shatman, when he was on Chris Jericho's podcast.
The Shatman.
William Shatner's from Montreal. Chris Jericho's from Winnipeg, you idiot, as he's told so many friends that go back to Toronto. All right. Now we're moving on to Vietnamese tree ghosts. So,
okay.
Yeah, this one might go a little back further in some folklore, I guess. I don't know if it's a super modern urban legend, but apparently known for their rich culture, Vietnam has cultivated some serious legends in their long history, like these ghosts that wander around the Vietnamese countryside and take up residence in a tree that they like. And they just live in it.
I like this tree.
Why not? Fern gully, man. or other things that live in trees. Tree nymphs, I don't know. But yeah, if you should cut it down or harm it, you will be cursed with bad luck forever. And I'm glad I went back, because it said you should always ask the ghost to leave the tree first. So if you do that, I think you're fine.
Yeah. You just do an exorcism for a tree? Like, how do you ask the ghost to leave the tree?
Politely.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. My Green Witch book said something about not just plucking any leaf off a tree without being like, can I have this? Or something like that. More respectful.
Excuse moi. Por favor.
Me just yanking off cattails from the little pond in my house because I wanted them on my kitchen vase. Okay.
I always did like honeysuckles and
they sound pretty.
Yeah, there was a honeysuckle tree that grew up. It was a really big one at my elementary school, so a lot of us kids used to rip all the honeysuckles off, like, as soon as they appeared. We'd fill them with into bags.
Nice meat out of that, I've seen.
Yeah, like I remember it. Eating a few of them and not thinking they were great, but they were pretty.
Yeah. That's funny. All right, next we're going to come back to our continent. This one's actually from Canada.
Ooh.
Oh, Canada. It's a white lady.
The lady white... in white.
What a surprise. The White Lady of Montmorency Falls. So this is located near Quebec City, Quebec. And it's kind of old-timey. This white lady and her fiancé used to meet at the top of the falls. But when he died at the Battle of Beauport, she jumped off the falls to her death wearing her wedding dress. Not a nice day for a white lady.
Super depressing.
Wedding.
Yeah, shit.
She is supposedly still seen wearing her wedding dress, which the article semi-debunked as maybe not even having been white, as that didn't apparently become popular until more the Victorian era. And the Battle of Beauport, or the Battle of Montmorency, was in July of 1759. But I don't know. They did say the first white wedding dress was like the 1400s, so it did not that it didn't happen.
Okay, I didn't know it was that long ago.
I mean, yeah, it seems like it's just okay, so it's like a very Christian traditional thing now, where Wikipedia said like a white wedding is a traditional formal or semi-formal wedding originating in Great Britain. And the term originates with the white color of the wedding dress, which originated with Anne of Brittany during her 1499 marriage to Louis VII of France. But the white dress became popular with Victorian era elites after Queen Victoria wore a white lace dress at her 1840 wedding to Prince Albert.
Okay.
Which
false.
We have a Prince Albert in Canada. It's in Saskatchewan. Nearby is a waterfall named Chute de la Dame Blanche. So much prettier than English, which would just be like Falls of the White Lady. Amazing. Trinidad and Tobago has a La Diablesse or La Diablesse. Also sounds very French. Who sold her soul to the devil for eternal youth.
Ooh.
I know. So now she has a wide-brimmed hat that hides her hideously bruised face.
Oh, she probably looks so stylish from afar, though.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've like seen this aesthetic, in some sort of Mexican folklore or something, like maybe in Rain's old Scooby-Doo game. I can't remember.
Oh, that's probably, fuck. All I can think of is that lady from the Book of Life.
I haven't seen that, I don't think, but
they're so
definitely
cute.
Have some interesting culture with, like, the Day of the Dead and that kind of
sugar
skulls, and I don't realize the sugar skulls have, like, a folklore origin story of some lady, apparently. So my coworker was telling me.
Cool.
I'll have to ask her. But this lady has one cow hoof.
Oh,
which I meant to look up. I thought we had another, folklore person that had, like, a cow tail or something, but I couldn't remember if that was in Sweden folklore or what the fuck, so.
I don't remember.
Right? Just like one weird thing. So like she looks perfect except for these two little flaws. She is seen either at cemeteries, crossroads, or at dances.
One of these things is not like the other.
I know, right? I'm not sure if she's picking up men at all three, but she does lure men off to like a cliff area or a forest and then just leaves them for dead.
Fun.
Good yeah.
Hobby.
Oh, this one I remember adding at last minute. This is from China. Jiangxi Hopping Vampires. Jiangxi, also known as Hopping Vampires or Stiff Corpse, is a fascinating and eerie legend rooted in Chinese folklore. Originating in ancient China, the concept of Jiangxi can be traced back to traditional Chinese beliefs about the afterlife. According to legend, a person who dies under unusual circumstances or without proper rituals may return to life as a reanimated corpse, hopping with outstretched arms in search of life force, usually in the form of qi. Is it qi or qi? It's spelled qi. Qi? Qi? Vital energy from the living.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, they're fun vampires. This chilling legend has inspired numerous books, movies, other forms of media, both within China and internationally, solidifying its place in global folklore. Share this article with your school for examples of Jiangxi in popular culture over the past few decades.
Fabulous. I'll be sure.
Why did I leave that in?
I don't know.
It was like that one I kept copy and pasting from last week, and it was like, blah, 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 this article from Wrestling Inc. I'm like, yes, I credit my sources. Don't worry. Yeah. Every time I copy and pasted it, like, added itself as a source. I was like, oh my god.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, it was like, read more. Blah, 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 blah. And then linked itself. I was like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
Black magic. All right. So, a couple more countries and then I'm done. These are Capre or tree-dwelling giants, quote, described as a tall, dark, and hairy tree-dwelling giant, the Capre is deeply embedded in the cultural heritage of the Philippines. Its origins can be traced back to pre-colonial times when indigenous beliefs merged with elements of Spanish and Islamic folklore. Often depicted as a chain smoker, the Capre is said to reside in large trees, particularly balete trees, and is known for both its trickster nature and its ability to befuddle and confuse travelers.
Oh, befuddle is such a good word.
It's so good. And yeah, he's befuddling. He's a chain smoker, and all I know is that those trees are some sort of a ficus tree, and I don't know anything more about that guy. He's a mysterious figure. Or they are. And then I want to see if there's anything in Germany, because they're known for some interesting, like,
oh, yeah,
stuff. And this one I came across was called Lorelei, which I know is just a name, you know.
Yeah, like it's very pretty.
First name. I'm pretty sure it's like one of Pat's doctor's names or something. But yeah, exactly. It's a name. But
I like it.
Also a folklore figure, I guess, who once sat atop a steep rock on the Rhine. She was a nymph so beautiful that drew the eye of every sailor. Dressed all in white and had a star wreath in her hair. Sounds so beautiful. Christmassy.
Yeah.
Of course, she had a haunting siren song that called out to those who passed by her, and no sailor who could resist who saw her. Watch out, you all who are in the Navy. Russa? Everyone that heard her song followed and never returned. They were usually dashed to death against the rocks. You know, sirens are never good, but now a statue of Lorelei watches over a treacherous stretch of water near Sankt Goarshuizen. Something. This actually also came from the Germanic Legends website. I put it in my own words. How to Protect Your Child from Changeling Activity by Jacob Grimm. Which is because we just did some Grimm's Brothers.
Yeah.
Number one, place key next to baby. Number two, don't leave mother alone for 1 minute for first 6 weeks after birth. I don't know how I feel about that.
For 1 minute. Let her have her minute. 1 minute a day, please.
But also, number three, always have someone awake to watch child for first 6 weeks because they're the most vulnerable. Oh. Makes sense. But then, like, maybe let the mother sleep and, like, give her a minute.
Yeah.
And number four, drape a pair of men's pants over the crib.
Okay.
No explanation. None necessary. No. And although I've heard of changelings in, like, Celtic folklore, they had a little bit more in a German story, I guess. It said another German myth was once upon a time at Heslock near Audernheim, a servant and the cook of a clergyman were living together as a man and wife, but their newborn baby would not grow or gain weight. The mother was told to go to Neuhausen and give her baby water from the Syriac spring. It was believed that a visit to this spring would either restore the child back to health or he would die within 9 days.
Oh, just like, you can keep your child, they just won't grow, or you can kill your baby or they'll get bigger.
Right? Because I thought, like, every small or sickly looking child was like a changeling. I was like, oh, yeah. No, he just might not be eating enough.
Yeah.
To cut a long story short, en route the infant became heavy and monstrous, and a traveler yelled out that the woman was carrying the devil on her back.
Oh my god.
The traveler said, your child is at home in a new cradle behind the chest in the side room. Throw this monster into the brook. Sobbing, the mother did as she was told, and a great howl bellowed from beneath the bridge like the howling of wolves and bears. When the mother arrived home, she found her baby healthy and laughing in its new cradle. And that, dear readers, is just one way the changeling can strike. Like, what?
Yeah.
How would you know?
No, they trick you into, like, killing your baby so that they can take its place, basically.
It's like,
yeah.
So then she did kill her own baby, then, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
It tricked her. Yeah, they, like, leave them behind or they end up.
Right.
Normally, it happens, like,
Claire finds one in Outlander that's just left by a tree. And then she's like, oh my god, it froze to death. And they're like, yeah, it was a changeling. I'm like, what? You're a witch! Okay.
Yeah.
So, final one. Yes, also from the one from the Germany website. And it's the Werewolf of Moorbach.
Ooh,
so it might sound like it's old. Yeah, I was like, okay, is this like one of those old timey crimey stories? But it's not that old, at least I hope not, because according to the legend, Moorbach is the last place a werewolf was killed around 1988.
Oh my god, that's so recent. It's a lot more recent than I thought you were gonna say.
Just 35 years ago. I know, right? It just said that a single candle burns in the village as a reminder, but also as a warning. One night the candle went out and a wolf-like figure was spotted standing at a U.S. air base. He stood. I'm sorry. I don't know why it was there.
Okay.
he stood staring at the soldiers before returning to the forest. The candle was relit and has never gone out since. According to the townsfolk, if the candle ever goes out, the werewolf will return. Yikes.
How big is this candle?
I don't know. Is it this, like, is one all candle? The information.
Do they replace the candle? What's the logistics of this candle?
It's like the Olympic flag or torch of candles. Olympic flame, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The eternal flame. There's a few eternal flames.
Eternal flame, say my name. Sunshine through the rain. All right. I read a book recently where she had to keep a candle lit for someone. I think it was one of those Susanna Kearnsley books. It was like, everybody has secrets. And then they did like a twisty thing at the end where you're like, you didn't know that guy was really this guy you have been talking about all along. Nope. I can't explain it better than that. Because, you know.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot. She's just historical, and then sometimes there's a little bit of timey back and forth between, like, you know, someone will be reading, like, historical letters they found, so then you'll, like, be going back and forth between the modern person and, like, then you'll go back to, like, the figures in the letters or whatever, and she'll do two different timelines, and they're cool, like, I don't know. Not bad. Oh, and then today I'm starting one I got from the library by her name is like Cressley, which is a bit odd. It's almost like if I just misspell your name, but then you throw an R in there. And yeah. It's like Cressley Cole, and I've read a few of hers. I think I read a few of hers that were called like Immortals After Dark series. Like a little bit of paranormally, a little bit sexy, as I said to Pat earlier. And this one, though, it says it's called like the Arcana Chronicles. And it said that the tarot card characters were all going to be like real life people or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's called the Arcana or the Arcana Chronicles. Because like the major arcana cards, like the Hermit, the Priestess, the...
Cool.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So far it's set kind of in modern times, but then apparently there's going to be some sort of apocalypse event, so like, yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
If
up
you ever
alley.
Have at your library the Night Circus, I think you would really like that. That was the one that I got. Oh. The my tarot deck, like that's that author.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and the book she did, and you can kind of do it. It's really cool. I want to reread the story.
It's a series?
No, it's just one book.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm writing it down. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. I was reading it during my lunch break, so, you know, I'm only reading it, like, half an hour to 45 minutes at a time, so it took me a while to get through, but I feel like if you sat down and read it, you would just, like, in 2 days, it'd just be done, because it's so good, and once I started reading, I didn't want to keep putting it down, and...
Oh, that is a good one, then. Yeah.
And
you're just like, what? My break's over. No, it's not.
I really liked it. I want to reread it again. I feel like I'd...
Oh...
catch a lot more like of the stuff and be like, oh, I see what you did there, like, oh, I like that little hand,
yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, and then the one I just finished for the last true crime book I had from the library, I was like, okay, yeah, I could really should cover this case. It was really pretty fascinating. Yeah. It was called One Cut.
One Cut. The
one fight that cost six lives. or something like that. It was interesting. It was interesting. We might have to do it in a theme of like unjust sentences kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, not like wrongfully convicted necessarily, but sort of in that vein. Because, like, yeah, there was like one knife, and then there was a fight between like teenage boys, and then like all the boys were up for murder, basically. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wild.
It was the 90s, man.
Yeah.
It was a different time. Yeah, apparently, you know, the Ronald Reagan era, he was, like, all tough on crime from the 80s. So they were kind of saying it was, like, perfect storm of all these conditions that kind of led to this. And yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was a really fun episode, so yeah. I won't bum you out with that yet.
And our last one, so if you miss us, you gotta join our Patreon.
Oh, hell yeah.
Get access to a whole lot of bonus episodes, videos, mini episodes.
Yes, I was gonna look at the number earlier because it's like probably over 100 or something like that posts we have now. I can't remember. It's a lot. Yeah.
I can't remember what it said. I thought I saw it earlier.
We've been doing our Patreon, for a while, so.
Yeah.
Come on over, baby. And, other than that, we'll see you in the new year.
Yeah.
So, happy Hogmanay, if you're Scottish. Happy New Year.
We are planning on coming back on January 12th.
So, oh, yes.
Yeah, skipping the 5th. So,
yeah.
And then I'll be away for a few weeks in January, but we're going to try and pre-record some stuff so that we'll keep releasing episodes.
Yeah, so. We don't have to have too many breaks.
Yeah.
Yelled at by someone. No, I don't know.
Who would yell at us?
One time the episode was late and my brother texted, "We want castles, we want cryptids."
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we don't have anybody else nagging us.
Yeah. I want that kind of love. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me feel so validated.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time.
Bye. Yeah. Until next cryptic. Year. Yeah. Keep it cryptic all Christmas, fam. I gotta find the button. Well, all our longtime listeners will definitely know that recording a podcast is not always easy.
Nope.
So you better believe, like, when we find something we like, that we're going to probably stick to it and not look for anything else. So, that's one of the reasons why I love Zencastr. When we tried it, we were like, okay, finally, I wanted to have the video, and it's what, up to 4K video, which is pretty effing cool. I can see every pore on Kelsey. No, I'm just kidding.
I hope not.
But it's great video and like just really easy on this one. So like once we stopped recording on our phones, I was like, yeah, this is the one for us. So even though sometimes our computers fuck up, it always comes through for us in the end because we've never lost like a recording, knock on wood, and anytime we've had to use it, it's just been really great and really easy, and everything's just recorded when we wanted it to, which is, you know, it's a lot to ask for when you podcast as much as we do.
Yeah, it's nice that each of us has our own separate audio recording that you can download and edit, so it makes when one of us doing something or has something, it's easy. You can edit that out even with the other person was talking because you have two separate tracks that you can edit. Yeah, it's one of the reasons we love Zencastr. It makes it a lot easier. And the audio quality is also a lot better than any of the other programs we tried using in the past.
Yes, it is the best. So go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code cryptic and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan.
We want you to have the same easy experience as we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.
Keep it cryptic.
This
has been Castles and Cryptids. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and our YouTube channel. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. On our website, you can listen to all of our episodes as well as view pictures for each of our segments. Check out our Patreon page to view all of our tiers and become a Patreon supporter today to unlock monthly bonus episodes and behind-the-scenes content. We are working on an Ask Us Anything. You can submit questions by social media or by email at castlesandcryptids@gmail.com. Do you have a spooky ghost story, a creepy cryptid sighting, or a thrilling true crime tale you would like to share and have us include in a future episode? Send us your listener story by social media or by email. Please include the name that you would like mentioned. Our music is by Kobe Affair. Our logo and artwork is by Antonio Garcia. Thanks for listening!